forearm again, marveling at the sudden eruption of fungal patterns. They must have been latent for many years, but now something had caused them to flare up. Even in daylight, emeralds and blues shone against her skin. She suspected that the biochemical changes had been triggered when she entered the water to snatch the globe. Given that, she could not help but view it as a message. An invitation, perhaps. Or was it a warning, reminding her of the dangers of swimming? She had no idea. For her peace of mind, however, and given the lack of alternatives, she chose to view it as an invitation. But she did not dare wonder who was inviting her. "You think the ocean can understand external events?" Weir asked.
"You said it yourself, Raphael. The night they told us the ship was coming, somehow that information reached the sea, via a swimmer's memories, perhaps, and the jugglers knew then that this was something significant. Perhaps it was Ormuzd's personality rising to the fore. Or maybe it was merely the vast coral mind of the ocean, apprehending only that something was going to happen."
"Either way," Naki said, "it still makes me think there might be a chance."
"I only wish I shared your optimism."
"Give me this chance, Raphael. That's all I ask."
Naki removed her clothes, less concerned that Weir would see her naked now than that she should have something to wear when she emerged. But although Weir studied her with unconcealed fascination, there was nothing prurient about it. What commanded his attention, Naki realized, was the elaborate and florid patterning of the fungal markings. They curled and twined about her chest and abdomen and thighs, shining with a hypnotic intensity. "You're changing," he said.
"We all change," Naki answered.
Then she stepped from the side of the boat into the water. The process of descending into the ocean's embrace was much as she remembered it. She willed her body to submit to biochemical invasion, forcing down her fear and apprehension, knowing that she had been through this once before and that it was something that she could survive again. She did her best not to think about what it would mean to survive beyond this day, when all else had been shattered, every certainty crumbled. Mina came to her with merciful speed.
"Naki? I'm here. Oh, Mina, I'm here."
There was terror and there was joy, alloyed together.
"It's been so long."
Naki felt her sister's presence edge in and out of proximity and focus. Sometimes she appeared to share the same physical space. At other times she was scarcely more than a vague feeling of attentiveness.
"How long?"
"2 years, Mina." Mina's answer took an eternity to come. In that dreadful hiatus, Naki felt other minds crowd against her own, some of which were so far from human that she gasped at their oddity. Mina was only one of the conformal minds that had noticed her arrival, and not all were as benignly curious or glad.
"It doesn't feel like 2 years to me."
"How long?"
"Days. Hours. It changes."
"What do you remember?"
Mina's presence danced around Naki.
"I remember what I remember. That we swam when we weren't meant to. That something happened to me and I never left the ocean."
"You became part of it, Mina." The triumphalism of her answer shocked Naki to the marrow.
"Yes."
"You wanted this?"
"You would want it if you knew what it was like. You could have stayed, Naki. You could have let it happen to you the way it happened to me. We were so alike."
"I was scared."
"Yes, I remember."
Naki knew that she had to get to the heart of things. Time was passing differently here. Witness Mina's confusion about how long she had been part of the ocean. And there was no telling how patient Weir would be. He might not wait until Naki reemerged before deploying the juggler killer.
"There was another mind, Mina. We encountered it, and it scared me. Enough that I had to leave the ocean. Enough that I never wanted to go back."
"You've come back now."
"It's because of that other mind.
It belonged to a man called Ormuzd. Something very bad is going to happen because of him, one way or the other." There was a moment that transcended anything Naki had experienced before. She felt herself and Mina become inseparable. She could not say where one began and the other ended, but it was entirely pointless to even think in those terms. If only fleetingly, Mina had become her. Every thought, every memory, was open to equal scrutiny by both of them. Naki understood what it was like for Mina. Her sister's memories were rapturous. She might only have sensed the passing of hours or days, but that belied the richness of her experience since merging with the ocean. She had exchanged experience with countless alien minds, drinking in entire histories beyond normal human comprehension. And in that moment of sharing, Naki appreciated something of the reason for her sister having been taken in the first place. Conformals were the ocean's way of managing itself. Now and then, the maintenance of the vaster archive of static minds required stewardship, the drawing in of independent intelligences. Mina had been selected and utilized and given rewards beyond imagining for her efforts. The ocean had tapped the structure of her intelligence at a subconscious level. Only now and then had she ever felt that she was being directly petitioned on a matter of importance. But Ormuzd's mind... Mina had seen Naki's memories now. She would know exactly what was at stake, and she would know exactly what that mind represented.
I was always aware of him. He wasn't always there. He liked to hide himself. But even when he was absent, he left a shadow of himself. I even think he might be the reason the ocean took me as a conformal. It sensed a coming crisis. It knew Ormuzd had something to do with it. It had made a terrible mistake by swallowing him. So it reached out for new allies, minds it could trust.
Minds like Mina, Naki thought. In that instant she did not know whether to admire the pattern jugglers or detest them for their heartlessness. Ormuzd was contaminating it?
His influence was strong. His force of personality was a kind of poison in its own right. The pattern jugglers knew that, I think.
Why couldn't they just eject his patterns?
They couldn't. It doesn't work that way. The sea is a storage medium, but it has no self-censoring facility. If the individual minds detect a malign presence, they can resist it. But Ormuzd's mind is human. There aren't enough of us here to make a difference, Naki. The other minds are too alien to recognize Ormuzd for what he is. They just see a sentience.
Who made the pattern jugglers, Mina? Answer me that, will you? She sensed Mina's amusement.
Even the jugglers don't know that, Naki. Or why?
You have to help us, Mina. You have to communicate the urgency of this to the rest of the ocean.
I'm one mind among many, Naki. One voice in the chorus.
You still have to find a way. Please, Mina, understand this, if nothing else. You could die. You all could die. I lost you once, but now I know you never really went away. I don't want to have to lose you again for good.
You didn't lose me, Naki. I lost you.
She hauled herself from the water. Weir was waiting where she had left him, with the intact globe still resting in his hand. The daylight shadows had moved a little, but not as much as she had feared. She made eye contact with Weir, wordlessly communicating a question.
The shuttle's come closer. It's flown over the node twice while you were under.
I think I need to do this, Naki. He had the globe between thumb and forefinger, ready to drop it into the water. She was shivering. Naki pulled on her shorts and shirt, but she felt just as cold afterwards. The fungal marks were shimmering intensely, seeming to hover above her skin. If anything, they were shining more furiously than before she had swum. Naki did not doubt that if she had lingered, if she had stayed with Mina, she would have become a conformal as well. It had always been in her, but it was only now that her time had come.
"Please wait," Naki said, her own voice sounding pathetic and childlike. "Please wait, Raphael."
"There it is again." The shuttle was a fleck of white sliding over the top of the nearest wall of juggler biomass. It was 5 or 6 kilometers away, much closer than the last time.